You are listening to the Sound and Faith podcast coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My name's Pastor Thomas Lawson. What are you doing over there, Pastor Mike?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just scrolling on my Facebook feed.
You're scrolling on your Facebook feed.
I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
And our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can I have my phone back now?
Yeah.
Why were you, what were you scrolling on Facebook?
Just the feeds.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just checking it out?
Checking it out
on there, scrolling through the reels.
Yeah, it keeps me like that. Keeps my mind occupied.
I like a good reel every now and then.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be keeping it real.
Oh,
ooh, nice. See what I did there?
I did.
It's good to be with you today. Hey, on our episode today, I want to highlight a couple of things. We're going to get into the subject here, but just remember, we want to encourage people to subscribe to this on whatever place you get your podcast, whether that be through the Apple app or Spotify, so many different places out there, wherever you get your podcast.
It helps you to find it, but it also helps others to find us too.
Yep. And we also have merch.
Yes.
You can go to faithsf.com/store. I'm not wearing any of the merch.
Again, not wearing any merch.
I need to get the merch. You know what? I realized the other day that as far as merch goes for the podcast, I only have winter apparel.
Oh, yeah.
And we're really slow getting into fall here. Okay. I've got like fall winter apparel.
I have a hoodie. I just got it. It's really nice. It's gray.
Ooh.
The big Sound and Faith logo.
Yeah.
I can wear it, tell people about this pretty cool podcast that this church does.
You can go to faithsf.com/store and get your merch for the church.
Good gifts
and the
too.
Podcast. Yes.
Enough of that.
Make great Christmas gifts. Hey, so you were scrolling on your phone here. My phone, actually.
Yeah.
We use that as kind of a prop, but we are talking today about Christians and social media.
Yeah.
A very relevant topic. We're calling this hashtags and humility. Keeping it holy online. So we're just going to jump right in here. Why spend an entire podcast episode talking about social media?
Yeah, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about in the office there about like the difference between saying something and saying it online, and the realization we were talking about a disqualified pastor actually who disqualified himself by things that he was doing online, by things he was posting. And that led to him losing his place as a pastor of a church, the other elders feeling he was disqualified. And this is in another place, another state, but it came up in conversation. And my thought in that conversation was, you know, when you say something online, you're saying it. You're actually saying it. And I know there's a disconnect in our minds between actually saying something. Like, what I mean is, I think there are things that a lot of Christians will say online that they would never, they'd say on Facebook that they'd never say right to you.
Right,
they would consider it rude or, kind of obnoxious. But online, they feel okay saying it.
Yeah, they do. I'll throw this out there, if you don't mind. I remember you saying when we were going through our search for an associate pastor of discipleship here. And we're so glad to have Pastor Mark Heck here now. But when we were going through that search, the committee would actually go and look up some of the applicants online to say, how are they behaving?
Yes.
What are they posting on Twitter, now X? You know, what are they posting on Facebook? And how do they behave online?
And that was very serious to us.
Yeah.
And again, that's because this is part of who you are. Like the way that you communicate says something about your heart and who you are and what you love and those kind of things. And the freedom that you express online, you know, and maybe the lack of discretion could be very serious.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's...
So it's getting at the heart. It's such a prevalent thing. And I recognize everyone listening may not be on social media.
I think most are.
I think most are, though. Yeah.
I think there'll be a few, and you guys should all comment.
Even if you're not, you should go on and comment.
On
tell us
Facebook
everything
page.
You think is wrong
on
with
our
this
Facebook
episode.
Page.
We tell you all the problems that you have. Go to our Facebook page. But even if you're not on social media and you're listening, I mean, it's such a relevant thing today, how people are acting online, the way that they are speaking to one another. I've thought about this many times, you know, 50 years ago, not even 50 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, 20 years ago, if you wanted to get your opinion out there, the avenues for doing that were limited. And right. you had to have people vet what you were saying and, you know, maybe get an editorial published in the newspaper. You know, you send out a mass email to a couple of people. There were limitations.
Yeah, you could see it was like a backwards funnel, you know, yeah. like it was getting bigger and bigger. The blogosphere came out and people were blogging and anyone could have a blog. And then social media and then public instant communication became ubiquitous. Like everyone all of a sudden could say something to a lot of people all at once.
Yes. And it can ruin your life.
Oh, sure.
And sure it can. It can ruin other people's lives. And once it's been said, it cannot be unsaid.
And that's another thing. Like, I think we doubt that truth, that axiom, that once it's said, it can't be unsaid. Once it's out there, it's out there. Yeah. And we're seeing it a lot, right? We're seeing things that people said in their college years coming back to bite them in their careers and online. Yeah. You know, things they said that they thought were buried and it comes back up. And no, it just shows us a little bit about who that person is.
There's a catchy little phrase that kind of goes around today. You know, they let the intrusive thoughts win.
Yeah.
And see...
And
as,
out.
As a Christian, I'm man enough to admit this. Maybe that's the wrong way to say it. I understand the reality of this, that even as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, even though I'm in Christ, I still struggle with the sins of the flesh.
Yeah.
Selfishness, pride, arrogance, all of those things like that. And there are times when thoughts pop into your brain and you say, Lord, I shouldn't say that.
Mm.
I repent of that. I'm not going to say that out loud. But once you say it and post it out there for all the world to see, it cannot be unsaid.
That's
the
right.
Intrusive thoughts have won in that sense.
And you know, that's you can sin online. You can sin by what you say on Facebook. You know, that could be, So, and I feel like there's like a, maybe we're getting better at this, at realizing the personal responsibility of it, but I think there's a bit of a disconnect. You know, we give ourselves a bit of a buy on things that are done on social media that we wouldn't give the same buy if it was done in person, like in an office setting or, in a church gathering.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What social media platforms are we talking about here? Let's define these because there's many out there.
Yeah.
But I would say the big four. Okay, Facebook. Facebook, interestingly, is not as popular among younger teens and young adults.
They all have it, but not everyone checks it.
I think it's mainly, and forgive me, I think it's so that they can stay in touch with their grandparents.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And communicate with their parents. But it is still pretty huge.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you never know, the trends could swing back. But yeah. Facebook is, it's
hundreds of millions of people are on Facebook. And it
billions.
Is. Billions. Yeah. If you consider the entire worldwide population. Instagram, which is connected to Facebook through Meta.
Meta, they own it. Yeah.
Instagram is a little bit different in that it's more post picture video oriented. You can, of course, post text and have comments and interactions with people there.
Somewhat more popular among the young people.
Yeah, exactly. I said the big four. There's actually the big five. I left one off the list here, but there's TikTok.
Yeah.
Okay, which...
Yeah, you shouldn't be on that.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I know I'm going to sound like get an okay boomer comment here, even though I'm Gen X. But you shouldn't be on TikTok. Yeah. It is bad news. Yeah. Snapchat.
Yeah, a lot of people are on Snapchat. A lot of college kids use it as a means of communication. They'll send out a snap, you know.
And the final one that I didn't put on the list here, but I'll include in the notes, of course, is X. Used to be called Twitter.
And maybe that genre of those, like threads, is similar.
And Twitter tends to be the place where people just argue.
Oh, man.
Constantly.
It is so not worth my time. I mean, some people
maybe
can be winsome and do well that way on that. But I have an X account and, you know, I've forsaken all five of my followers and many years ago.
Yeah. I tell people, I said, if you don't believe in total depravity, just go to X, you know, and look at some of the interactions that people are having and just like, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
This some of the worst things that can be said.
X is absolutely an argument against postmillennialism.
It is the abomination of desolation. Maybe only a few will get my little reference.
But
yes, I understand.
I hope they get it.
Well, you know, we've talked we've even alluded most of the time at the early part of this conversation about the bad things. Yeah. You know, we've knocked social media. Are there good and godly uses these platforms?
Yeah. I mean, again, you can say anything to a lot of people pretty quickly. And so you can say good and winsome and wholesome things. You can say things that uplift people. You can say things that point people to Christ and to the gospel that they can be very thought-provoking. You know, yeah. John Piper, in one of his books, makes an argument that it's not books that change people, it's sentences. And that's really true. It's the sentence, for me, that often stands out, you know, and makes the price of whatever book I'm reading worth it sometimes even. We can put sentences up that can actually impact and encourage, and we could use it in a good way. Information, information out, like a hurricane, you know, just struck Florida. A great deal of the information that we're able to understand about this hurricane and its aftermath comes from social media accounts, because people are quickly able to post a picture and post hey, just passed through my area, nobody has power, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, public information, yeah. Things like that, safety. I think even just wholesome personal interactions with people.
Yeah,
I've got friends that live far away. I don't know when the next time I'll ever get to see them, but I love seeing their families. Yeah. I love seeing how their lives are going. We have family that lives down in Louisiana. We have family that live in other places.
Connections.
Following nieces, nephews, brothers and sisters, connections like that. Another one I'll put out there is just wholesome humor.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you use humor. I see you do it on social media. I like to do it. I figure in this world of unhappiness, if someone can scroll through and get a little chuckle for the day for a good reason, that's good. Yeah. You know, it's part of the joy of life.
Just for any of our listeners who are friends with Thomas Slauson on Instagram or Facebook, you should go look at his the perfume, the cologne that he has published. You know, he's
the irresistible, irresistible grace perfume
by John Calvin Klein.
Yes, I thought that was great. Yeah. That's not original. I didn't make that up. Oh. I got that from someone else. But you know, things like that. They're fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that kind of humor, and it brings joy to people's day, gives them a laugh, puts a smile on their face. So there's many good, wholesome uses of social media.
I guess what we're saying here, and we want everyone to hear this, we are not condemning social media. You know, we it's a platform. It's morally neutral as a platform, like in the sense that it doesn't, like, just like a telephone is neutral, like, what you do on a telephone can be sinful. What you do, a voice call, or it could be good. And that's the same thing with Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. They can be fine in and of themselves. Maybe a world of temptation there. That's another thing we should talk about. They can be means of temptation, but by and large they're neutral morally, and so we can see good uses and bad uses.
Yeah, so we, again, not condemning social media. If you're on social media, what we're trying to encourage here today is good, wholesome, healthy, godly use of social media.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about some of the pitfalls already.
Maybe a couple more. Can I share a couple more?
Positive uses?
No, negative.
Negative. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, time wasting, stealing employers' time, things like that. You know, that's a big one. You can waste an entire devotional time. Like, you get up in the morning, you want to do your devotions, you're reading your Bible on your phone, you see a notification on Insta, you're on it, you're scrolling, you decide to look at a few videos, you're reeling, you know.
A monkey play with a cat.
And all of a sudden, you're out of time. You know, you're out of time for that morning. Or you could, again, like, instead of doing what your employer is paying you to do, you could be scrolling. I mean, all those things are pitfalls. It's a time waster. Again, to quote John Piper, he said, one of the great uses of Twitter, this is back when Twitter was a bigger thing, you know, one of the great uses of Twitter is to show on the last day when we stand before the Lord that we did have time to pray.
Yo.
You remember that quote?
Oh, I do. Yeah. That's been a while, but man.
Yeah, maybe 10 years
ago. That one cuts to the heart.
Yeah, and it is a time waster, and we got to be, you know, as Christians who are commanded, and, you know, the scriptures are very clear, redeem the time for the days are evil. We must, you know, manage and steward our time well because we don't have much of it.
Yeah, and I think another one, going back to something we've already said, but it can lead to almost a dual personality.
Yeah.
Living a double life almost. In public, you're this winsome, you know, polite person, the smile on your face, but then you go look at someone's online feed,
yeah,
and you're like, oh my goodness, you know, they seem very unhappy and very mad all the time, you know? So it can lead to almost this double life that you're living, where in one sense you're putting yourself forward as this, you know, wonderful person, and in the other sense you're you're trolling people online and calling them names and things like that.
Right. And then last but not least, I've just hinted at it, but it can be a source of great temptation. You can foster relationships that are inappropriate online. You could you could look at things that are inappropriate and become like that can become a pattern and a habit for you to look at things that that breed covetousness or breed lust or those kind of things. So it could be a major source or platform of temptation for you that you allow sin in your heart to grow. So that's another pitfall that I think people should be aware of.
And like anything, you know, you think of that Hebrews 12 passage about running the race and laying aside every encumbrance. Yeah. If these platforms are a source of temptation for you, it may be best to lay them aside completely. You know, there you don't have to be on social media.
No, I think you'll do just fine. Live your life. You know, I've heard lots of people say this. You know, I'm not on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and my life is just fine.
Yes.
I'm happy.
If you're listening today, if you use social media in a healthy way, if it's a benefit to your life, and we're going to get into some of the other ways that we use it here, but you know, by all means, use that. But if it is a persistent stumbling block for you, it may be an encumbrance that you need to lay aside, as Scripture says.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Be Real.
No, we didn't.
That's
I forgot about Be Real.
That's
another
one. That's fastest growing.
Yeah, Be Real.
Be Real, where you do at least one selfie a day, possibly four.
Yeah,
and you know, like, hey, here's my life. Here's my life again. Here's my life again. Hey, look at me.
Yeah, Be Real, if you're not familiar with it, it's very popular among the younger users. And you get a notification at a random time during the day. And when that notification comes in, you have 2 minutes to post a picture and of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it takes a front shot and a
uses,
you know, facing
all the cameras
shot
on your phone.
Yeah, it uses all the cameras on your phone. And then that goes out. And you're supposed to be real, you know, in that moment. Of course, I still think some people like, oh, I've got 2 minutes. Let me get myself in order here so I can take a picture of myself doing something awesome.
We really are in the era of this selfie, though, if you think of it. Like, how many selfies we put out there? Like, I mean, there's no other age where we would take so many pictures of ourselves and ask people to look at it.
Yeah. Well, and there's another pitfall, vanity.
Vanity.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, like, you know, people talk about that a lot, and that's one of the reasons why this company Be Real came out with its model, is that we don't want people just posting the awesome things that they do. We want them posting the mundane things. And for whatever reason, you know, good or bad, that's what it does.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, my life might be a mess, but everybody else thinks all I ever do is climb mountains and ride dirt bikes go hunting and work out at the gym. So it can present a false image of ourselves, and then we feed off of those likes and those comments of encouragement.
Yeah, that's another pitfall. Like that. You can be so into people pleasing. I mean, we got to stop talking about the pitfalls because we want to talk about some good uses.
Yeah,
too,
we do. We do. Well, let's jump in here. Does the Bible have anything to say about Christians and how we use social media and things like that online?
It does.
I don't recall any verses about Facebook.
It's in the footnotes here. Let me just read it. It says, let your speech always, there's the word, always. So let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
Yeah.
Always. Like always when you're on social media, always when you're at home, always let your speech be this way.
I think that's great. And the other one I was thinking of was 1 Peter 3:15. It's a verse I go back to often, especially when I think about, it's a verse that guides me. When I seek to interact with people online, but it says, "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect."
That's so good. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Let me confess here. I know I have failed in that online before. And God has convicted me of it. So you could probably go back in the deep post from years ago. And I've tried to go back and actually remove things that I've realized I was not gentle. I was not respectful in how I did that. But there may still be some floating out
there.
Is this
the challenge to our listeners?
No, don't go digging. But, you know, hey, that is what we're called to.
That's what we're called to.
We're called to gentleness and respect in how we deal with people. And this is going to kind of touch on our next question here when it get into things about like debates and politics and stuff like that. But, you know, when you post on Facebook or you post on Twitter, you do something like that, and you're posting an argument, say, and you want to get your opinion out there, there's really ultimately two approaches. Are you trying to be persuasive, or are you trying to pummel the other person? Are you trying to, like, if you have an opinion that's very strong about something, in a political issue, a moral issue, and you want to put it out there, do you want to just put it out there and make everybody mad and so that they know what you believe and pummel them over the head if they disagree with you? Or do you actually want them to agree with you because it's a good thing? And that's the care that we have to take with those arguments. So if you put forth some kind of position that's out there and you think it's a good position, you really want to be persuasive in that. I think you should believe this, and here's why. And if you disagree with me, I'm not going to call you an idiot or call you a, you know, doofus or whatever the words and much worse get said out there. But here's why I want you to believe this. And I think there's a gentle and respectful way to passionately even engage in discourse online, but so as to persuade the other person to come to that position, or at least convince them why you believe that is right.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think there's several questions you should ask. You know, like, is this loving? Like, is this loving to that brother or or those people? Because a lot of times things aren't written to a particular person. They're just put out there, you know, like for everybody. Does this lead people to, is this helpful?
Is it helpful? Yeah. Like,
does this help anybody, you know, or does this just say what I think? And here's another one. Like, am I really just trying to say something about myself? Like, am I posturing or virtue signaling so that people could see something good about me and, you know, like, think much of Mike? You know, because that's dangerous. You know, we're not called to make much of ourselves, you
know?
And we're called to point people to Jesus. And so, I think a lot of questions. Is it helpful? Is it even necessary? Like, there are so many things you could comment about in a day. Like, I don't feel that, like, even as a pastor of a church with quite a bit of influence, you know, when it comes to things, I don't feel like I need to comment on everything that's out there. Like, everything that happens in a day or every leader that's fallen or every, you know, debate that's going on right now, I don't feel like I need to weigh in there, you know? Like, do we have to say something all the time?
Not everything that can be said needs to be said.
Yeah, I mean, Proverbs says, you know, a fool takes no delight in hearing,
right,
but in expressing his own opinion.
Yeah. There are healthy ways to go about expressing our opinions. There are unproductive and even, I would say, at times ungodly ways of going about expressing.
For sure.
For sure. And so, you know, the next question that we've got on here about engaging in debate online, and maybe a better way to say is not just debate, but discourse.
Yeah.
You know, how do you discuss maybe there is someone you genuinely want to engage in a discussion with online? I've actually seen some. I've seen many. I've seen brothers in Christ that disagreed on something have a gentle and respectful, loving conversation online in which they went back and forth and they presented their positions. They found common ground. You know, so what about, you know, Christians? You know, should we do that? Should we engage in public discourse or debate online? And if so, what are kind of some of those guidelines?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, yes, we should sometimes. I think it ought to be rare just because I find the helpfulness of it rather questionable. And so, like, I think those kind of discussions typically go bad. I mean, we all know of good ones, you know, but most of them typically go to ad hominem attacks against people and people, you know, just all of a sudden your morals are like Hitler's and you're it's where it goes and it becomes not very cordial and helpful. And so I generally I generally advise that's going to be very rare when I actually engage in a debate online.
Yeah.
You know, where I have only done it a few times, and mostly because I don't find it to be something that's actually going to be helpful in the end. Like,
yeah.
You know, like I know I can tell by the tenor and the tone that this person is not going to be persuaded by anything I say.
Yes.
You know, and yeah. So it's not worth it, you know, like answer a fool according to his folly kind of thing. And so I don't, but what would you say are some guidelines to debate online? So we agree that it's okay sometimes to debate online with caution.
Yeah, and with caution, public discourse. And debate is one of those things where it's kind of a spectrum. There are like formal debates.
Yeah.
And then there are just kind of maybe a post or something might prompt a discussion with someone. I think you have to let that verse from 1 Peter 3:15 guide you, gentleness and respect. Mm-hmm. People like to reference that Jesus turned over tables and drove out money changers with whips. He did that. He didn't tell us to do that. You know, God gets to do things that we don't do. So he responded in that way. And that doesn't mean there are times where we might not need to be affirmative in what we believe or even direct in how we engage with people. But I think we still have to follow that guideline of gentleness and respect. And so as we're posting, thinking, is this fruitful? Is this beneficial? Is this the right format to have this conversation in? Maybe I need to just pick up the phone and call that friend and talk with them on the phone so that I can hear the sound of their voice. They can hear the tone of mine, that we can understand that there's no animosity in our hearts as we're having this conversation. It's easy to read into what someone is typing on a screen and hear, well, let me tell you something. You know, you get this kind of angry sound to it.
Yeah.
And it does need to be that.
And another thing, like maybe here's a question that you ought to ask yourself before you hit post, you know, is this something I'd say if I was at this person's dinner table and we're having dinner together and his wife and kids are there?
Yeah.
And my wife and kids are there, and we're enjoying a dinner together. Is this the tone I would use? Is this the language I would use? You know, or would I be more winsome? Or you know, would I be more kind?
Yeah,
you know, like there's something. You know, this whole keyboard courage thing, or you know,
Keyboard warrior,
phone courage. You know, like you feel freer to say things and use tones that you wouldn't in person. It's really helpful to stop and say, what would I do in person? Because that really ought to be the way that you speak online.
Yeah. I saw a post not too long ago on Twitter. A guy, well, let me be ambiguous here, but you know, there's a guy out there, the public theologian, who I believe is a brother in Christ, you know, believes most of what I believe, confesses the one true gospel, has lived a life of moral purity, you know, as far as we know, and in every regard, I would say he's a brother in Christ. But also, he believes some things that I don't necessarily believe, and takes some approaches to some things that maybe I wouldn't take the same approach. And so, this guy, I think a pastor of some kind, I don't know who he was, you know, referenced this guy's Twitter account and said, "This is a wicked and ungodly man."
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that is an incredibly strong statement.
Oh, sure it is.
A wicked and ungodly man.
Yeah, and usually not true.
And slanderous, you know, and even to that fact. But, you know, you ask that question, would you say this at their dinner table? Would he have walked up to this man and said, "I think you're a wicked and ungodly man"? Maybe so. I don't know.
Well, he might think he would, but then you have to ask, have you ever done that?
Yeah.
You know, and most of the time you don't. You know, most of the time you're tempered when you're, you know, in somebody's presence and you're, yeah. That's the thing. The other thing with all of this is that those debates typically involve a lot of people from different maturity levels.
Yeah.
And this is another reason why I abstain from them. You know, they're most of the time. You have the very immature among us weighing in, and the very mature might be there too, you know. And things get like secondary and tertiary issues become primary, you know,
right.
The first issue that... You know, and all of a sudden we're questioning somebody's standing with God, and making declarations right. about their standing with God
based upon those issues.
Yeah, know? And it's and then yeah, like you said, slandering. And you know, there's some people that I hold very dear and have been very influential in my life, and I don't follow their social media comments. Like I follow what they say, but I don't go read the comments that get said back, because it's usually like within 3 seconds somebody is calling him a heretic and you know, saying he's of the devil, and or them, you know, that there's several examples of that in my life. But so let's not do that, Christians. Let's not do that. Seasoned with salt.
Yes.
Gracious. Kind. Gentle.
Respectful.
Yeah.
All of those things. Yeah. You know, and I think what we're going to do is next week, you had mentioned jumping into this next question here, but just briefly, what about politics?
Yeah. Next week, we're going to tell you whom you should vote for. No, we're not. We are going to talk politics, and so you want to listen to that one. But yeah, so right now we're in an election year, and it's a very divisive election, just like they all have been in the last couple of decades.
Yeah.
Each one maybe a little more than the one before, and this one is a very divisive one, and the issues are huge and all of that, and people have very strong feelings about it, and you can tell by the way they post often, you know? And and so I think— Here's what I think. I think it's okay to talk about political things online, because I think discourse can happen. You know, I think arguing about politics online is not going to get you very far.
No.
And if you do that, Christian, man, I just want to encourage you as a pastor to do it in love, and let your speech be seasoned with salt, and don't disparage those who disagree with you as if they're garbage or trash or not people. You know, these are people made in the image of God.
Yeah. I would agree wholeheartedly. And I go back to that principle of, if you're going to choose to post something political right now, a position, a support, are you trying— what is your aim? What is your goal? Are you trying to persuade? Are you trying to pummel?
Yeah.
Are you trying to insult? Are you trying to make fun of, mock?
Right.
Or engage in convincing, respectful discourse with people. So I think you got to be careful with what you type out. Are you typing out a rant? Well, what point is the rant? What's the point of the rant? Are you posting a meme? You know, what's the point of the meme?
Right.
All of those things like that, take that into consideration as you're posting political things right now, if you choose to do so.
You will give an account for every idle word that you typed on Facebook and on Twitter and on whatever. And every idle word. I mean, like, that's a heavy, weighty thing. And and you know, and here's the other thing with this, and I hope you take this to heart, you know, listener. I think probably if you're a Christian, the most important thing to you is the gospel and the hope that we have in Christ.
Yes.
Do you want this thing and this view that you have on politics to make it impossible for someone to hear you on what's most important in your life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want that to happen? Do you want it to be so that you're so written off because of your tone that no one is going to listen to you share about
Jesus?
Are you
throwing up a wall to the gospel message? And that's a good question. You know, we as a church, we use social media.
Absolutely.
Should we do that?
Yeah, I think we should. It's a great way to get the word out about things really quickly. And so we do. And we know that it gets read. We can see the statistics. We know that people can see things.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we do. I think we try very hard, and I think Faith does a very good job of doing it in a way that is winsome and good and wholesome and helpful, you know? But yeah, and those are the guidelines, and we're pretty controlled in who actually has access to those feeds. I mean, who's able to post.
Yeah, we don't. It's not a free-for-all.
No. Usually it's at the pastor level. There's a couple others who are involved who we trust. But yeah, it's— Yeah, I think we should. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. We strive to do that here at Faith and do it in a healthy, wholesome way, God-honoring way.
Yeah.
We post sermon clips. We post, you know, announcements about things that are going on at the church. We
prayer post requests sometimes.
Prayer like requests.
This morning it said, pray for Florida on our Instagram feed.
Bible verses, sometimes fun, humorous things to make, you know, to get announcement out there.
There will be pie.
There will be pie, like our video yesterday. So we have fun, and we want people to smile. We want them to feel connected and engaged with the church as they go through their week. So we see it as a helpful tool out there.
We don't engage as a church on that level in heated debate.
No,
because,
we do not.
And the reason isn't because we're afraid. We're not afraid. to talk about hard things. We are just not afraid to talk about hard things. We don't do it there because it's not helpful.
No, not at all. Zero yeah. helpful. Yeah. Well, real quick, as we close out here, what's a personal way that maybe each of us can share a personal way that we've tried to use social media according to some of these healthy guidelines?
Yeah. So I try to post, me personally, I try to post something winsome and encouraging here and there. A few times a week, something encouraging, something sometimes provocative, because I do like to try to get people to think. This morning I posted something, I say provocative, I mean just thought-provoking.
Yeah.
I asked the question whether we believe things because of biblical texts or because of our natural thinking, and you know, I worded it better than that, and I just want people to think. And I use it to disseminate information, you know, some updates, and then I use it sometimes for personal, like, a family pic, or it's my daughter's birthday. You should tell her happy birthday, or a joke, you know, here and there to brighten people's day, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, many of the same things here. Try to do the same thing. Try to post things that are encouraging, winsome, funny, informative, and keep it to that. Occasionally, I post about sports because I know I have friends out there that. Love to talk about college football and things like that.
He's not referencing me right there.
No, I'm not talking about you at all. But I can say too, though, over the years of using social media, there have been some mistakes that I've made that have resulted in some poor interactions. And I would say, by the grace of God, those have been resolved. But there have also been some very positive interactions that have come out of that. I've connected with some people that are college friends that, you know, I can think of one friend in particular who was struggling and going through quote-unquote deconstruction, and it led to some really healthy conversations that I think ultimately were God used to help him stay grounded in the faith. And so I think there's definite benefits to that, and in striving always towards that end is what we do.
Yeah. Apple, you know, iOS has a really cool feature where you can set a timer for groups of apps. Mm. And so all my social media accounts, they're all linked. I really don't, you know, that I just put something somewhere and it kind of aggregates, but they're all linked. But I set a timer for 15 minutes. And so that adds them all up, you know, and when I hit my 15 minute mark, it says time's up. And that's all I try to do for that day. I try to put it away and not use it again that day, you know, and that's been really helpful for me because I don't want to waste time. I don't have much of it. You know, I'm a very busy guy and I want to do good things with my time, you know, and scrolling hasn't been helpful. So yeah, I think it's good to be careful with your time. And that's one way that I use it. I try to be careful with my time.
I agree. Well, this has been, I've enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah.
And I hope for those out there listening, it's been helpful. If you have any questions about this, you can go to faithsf.com.
Or our Facebook page.
Or our Facebook page and post a question, but faithsf.com/soundinfaith. And you can also post on our Facebook page, connect with us on Instagram. We would love to talk with you further about this and maybe answer a question on a future program. Been a good episode today, Pastor Mike.
Yeah, really good conversation.
Yeah, and Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.